What is going on, guys? I'm alone. Welcome to Existing with Maggie. Rob is having some technical difficulties. He will be joining us as soon as he gets this sorted out. Just okay, so before I get started on my, you know, usual rant, I would like for the people in the chat to tell me, is my microphone okay? Because it wasn't last week, and this was a terrific bummer, because I explained a lot of things at the beginning of the show, and I was so bummed out that my mic wasn't working correctly. So I'm going to need you guys to tell me if my mic is fine. Yes. Okay. So thank you for Jade. I'm sorry. Jade is a wonderful name to call you by, Brian. Jade is what I will be calling you from now on. Supi, thank you so much for being here. Corey, you know, the usual suspects. Thank you for joining me. Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. Rob will be here shortly. It is Friday the 13th. I know that this means a lot to a lot of people. You can send us a super chat to tell, you know, what Friday the 13th means to you and me, like a killer fan of Supernatural. That is probably one of the many, many reasons why Sean will not grant me StreamYard access, because I'm a Supernatural fan. Thank you for joining us today on this mono show. Rob will be joining us shortly. Hi, Joe in the chat. So I want you, as I start off, let me start off by doing my, you know, usual shtick, because there's no one here that asked me how my week was. So let me get out my usual shtick. Hi, thank you for joining us. Please leave a like on the video. It is the easiest way to support us. It's also free. If you're feeling generous, on the other hand, you can send us a super chat and or a humper chat at humperchats.com. Super chat is the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. Any amount will get your question or statement read live on the air. Of course, that will be if Rob will join us so he can put the actual comments on the air. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. It is the easiest $5 that you're ever going to spend when it comes to wrestling news. A lot of contracts, a lot of scoopsies before and after pay-per-views. Both Sean and Corey have been busting their ass. It is also our bread and butter. So it is the most wonderful way in which you can support us. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked, this very channel that we are on. And please subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful. It is our main channel in which you can get a lot of shows. But coming out of this week's spotlight with Steven Jensen and Jeremy Lambert, they announced that this was their final show on the main Fightful channel. They almost gave me a heart attack, because I thought that they were ending the show, and I'm like, please don't, just don't do this to us. So they're moving here. Their home will be Fightful Overbooked, and I'm so pumped for this, because the Spotlight is one of my all-time favorite shows on Fightful. Yeah, Supi sent us a super chat, but I can't possibly display it on air. Supi, I will make sure that Rob displays it when he hops in. He said, but first, Maggie, how are you doing there? Thank you, Supi, for asking me. You're so generous. Okay, because I am so incredibly sure that as soon as Rob joins us, we are about to start to talk about AEW All Out. I would, because like I told Rob this, and I did put up a vague tweet on Sunday. I had a really rough weekend last week. So I I was working my day shift like normally on Saturday. And when my shift ended, I remained in the bar because a very close friend of mine was celebrating her birthday. So I was like, I'm going to just, you know, hang out for a bit and then I'm going to go home after my shift. Of course, my plan was to be in bed by midnight because on the next day I was planning on waking up at freaking 6 a.m. just so I could catch up on All Out before going to work the day shift on a Sunday. So what happened was one of my colleagues said that she had a fever and she was sick and she could not work the night shift on Saturday. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to be in the bar regardless. So it's everything's going to be fine. I'll be there if my help is needed. I got it covered. So what happened was I worked the entire night shift after I worked the day shift. I almost said nothing to my friend who was celebrating her birthday. She was so understanding about it. I wouldn't be. She was such a doll. I adore her. So what happened was around 3:30 in the morning, like while still the bar was working, I go to my boss and I'm like, do you want to go work for a while? Because I have to fucking go home. I need to sleep. I have to get up at 6 a.m. And he's like, why do you have to get up at 6 a.m.? Your shift is way, way later. And I'm like, that is not your fucking business. So he went behind the bar, started working. I went home. I slept for a total of 1 hour and a half. And I woke up, and this was the first time I ever felt like that. It was, I'm not 20 anymore, guys. I'm 35. I'm just a granny, and I could not be asked to, you know, to fucking care for an hour and a half of sleep when I'm working so much. And I was like, okay, let's see if this happens. I make a cup of coffee. And coffee has always woken me up. Like, always. This did not wake me up whatsoever. This is the first time ever. So, frantic highs. It's not just me. Rob's having technical difficulties. So, I'm just here rambling, up until he works out whatever the hell he... So a cup of coffee didn't wake me up. And as it turns out, the last thing I remember was Mercedes Moné fighting Shida. And then this is in nowhere their fault, by the way. And I know she falls asleep right in the middle of the women's match. It's not that. It's just my, I cannot function that way. So I fell asleep for an extra 45 minutes. And then I woke up with Bryan Danielson versus Jack Perry. So I was like, damn it, I have to rewind that now. And this was even worse because like now I have even fewer minutes to watch until I have to go to work. So I watched everything. I watched the entire show, the end of the show. I even caught a bit of the post show with Sean. So I went to work, barely went to work. I got a bunch of peaches because my body was screaming for vitamins. And that's why... Hi!
Hi. 1 second.
What happened? Oh, okay. But can you hear me though?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. People are saying that John Cena is my special guest.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Maggie, what I have not done in a long time. Hold on 1 second so I don't mess these earphones up.
Oh, you're going to splash yourself with water? Yeah, okay.
Okay.
You can leave your hat on.
Okay, I needed to cool down because I was just hot as I could be, like just
You're always hot. Come on.
Well, thanks. But I mean, cursing up a storm, just making myself look like an idiot outside, looking for my headphones, looking for...
Where were your headphones?
I don't know. Still can't find them. I went to my neighbor and they had some that haven't been used. So...
Oh, okay. So you're using your neighbor's headphones.
Yeah.
I probably lost yours. So that's, you know, that's...
Yeah, I think I probably left totally mine fine. At a gym, but I had backups too, and I can't find those either. So...
Well, you probably left those in the gym too.
Probably. We'll find it.
Yes. Yes, you will. So as we start off the show, I was trying to keep it together. I've been entertaining the chat. Yes, Soupy did send us a super chat. I did talk about it, but if you can please, you know, like display it on the screen.
What am I supposed to display?
The super chat that Soupy sent.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, I already, because like I said that I wasn't going to ramble about my day because like you weren't here to ask me about my day. So he sent a super chat just so I could talk. Thank you, Soupy, so much. You're a doll for doing this. Rob, that's just water, right? Like it's not vodka or tequila?
For now, it's water.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have any of that other stuff here, so it's okay. No, I wouldn't drink any.
Yeah, that is awesome. I made sure that my microphone was working properly, not like, you know, this past week. So I was telling everyone about my horrible Saturday and Sunday last week. I told you everything about it.
Yeah.
But like, let me just, you know, continue, and then you're going to talk about, you know, whatever happened. You look really good, by the way. Just FYI. I know that you're really frustrated right now because you have that expression on your face that I'm going to kill you look.
Not you, but I'm going to kill
you. No, I know. It's not my fault.
No.
Like I totally understand. Yeah, so I went to work just barely after a total of 2 hours and 37 minutes of sleep, according to my watch. And I bought a bunch of peaches again because I wanted, you know, my body was aching for it. So the moment I got to work, I saw that, you know, the restaurant next to us was just opening up. And then I go see, you know, my friend who's working there. And I'm like, the minute the cook arrives, even before you make him a coffee, he's going to make me a hamburger, okay? This is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the money now. Just tell him to make me a fucking burger with fries and honey mustard, okay? This is what I want. So, because we had a football game, Northern Ireland versus Bulgaria, there were a lot of Irish people in my city. And one of them comes into the bar before I even open up the bar. And he's like, yeah, what's your cheapest beer? And can you play Oasis? And I'm like, yes, I can give you the cheapest beer. And no, I will not play Oasis now. Because I had nothing against Oasis, okay? I was indifferent. I will always appreciate the impact bands like this have on music. I have nothing against Oasis, but the fucking people who fucking bug me all the time to fucking play Oasis because they're fucking brilliant. I don't give a fuck. Now I hate Oasis because of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how you're doing, Rob.
I'm fantastic.
Apart from being wet.
I'm good. I'm good.
Yes.
You know, it's been an interesting week, so.
It has been an interesting week.
It seems like All Out was like forever ago.
It did.
Yeah, it's just weird. And, you know, All Out was night and day different than All In, you know, so that you had that going on. You had Raw was in Calgary, so you had the best of all time there, in my opinion. The GOAT, Bret Hart. So that made me happy.
And the GOAT and the boat.
Yeah, the GOAT and the boat were there. It was good to see Natalya return. And you had Gunther. made me belly laugh.
Much.
Yeah, because
so much.
I tweeted out earlier in the day, like, taking a shot. And the fact that that happened, like, just made me even happier.
Corey pointed out something extremely important, that he was so aware of the situation. that almost everyone thought that he was going to say Shawn Michaels. Okay. Almost everyone, like, I, not even in my wildest dreams that I think that he was going to bring up Bill Goldberg.
You could, and the best thing about it is how they all smirked. Like, they couldn't even.
Oh, yeah. They both smirked. I mean, Gunther, it feels like he was waiting all his life to say that, because, like, right when Raw, like, that segment started, he said, "I'm about to pour my heart out to my childhood hero. You're always going to be a close second to my favorite wrestler, Bill Goldberg." And he said, yeah. Bill Goldberg. Yeah. He didn't say Goldberg. He said the full, because he's so aware of the bit.
Yeah.
This is something that Corey pointed out that I didn't even, you know, that didn't even cross my mind. He's just so good. This was probably the best thing that happened on Raw. Because if Bret Hart has your back, you're probably one of the biggest baby faces out there. And so of course Sami Zayn is gonna get that rub. But if you'd like, we can talk about All Out and Dynamite now, or we can leave it for later.
We can leave it for later, because we already started talking about that, because the one thing too is we know that Punk and Drew are headed for their third pay-per-view match or PLE match, and it's going to be a Hell in a Cell, so, which we figured it would be, and this is where it needs to end. And that's my hope. I think that's everybody else's hope too.
I mean, the bracelet isn't a thing anymore, so.
Well, they actually brought it back, but they brought it. They changed it up. So
yeah, a different one. Yeah, a different one.
Just,
but
yeah, now it's just CM Punk. So
yeah, but what I meant to say is that CM Punk's bracelet isn't a thing anymore, because, like, I understand, and in you were so right that they made money on it. Mm-hmm. I just want to give you your flowers, because you were so right about that. But the way this transpired was, Drew was in the ring and he said that he's so happy that there's CM Punk chance, because from now on they'll be in memory of. That was so, I love that line. It was so good. He did make fun of the Four Corners match. He did make fun of that. He's so self-aware, and I love that. He said that he was disappointed in Wade Barrett. And Barrett did not, he stood his ground, and I love that about Wade. I miss him in the ring. I don't know if this is a tease for something in the future. I don't want to speculate. I can only hope. But then Adam Pearce came out and said that Punk was not finished with Drew, and that they were going to have a...
Oh, that was horrible.
A Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood. I hope that this is the end of this feud.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a wild ride. They can, I don't mind at all if Drew mentions CM Punk every now and then in a hate manner. You know, Punk does the same also. I wouldn't mind that, but just if they could just, you know, stop, it's gonna be great. But, like, what do you think? I was really excited for Wade Barrett. He's been awesome on commentary. I've adored him on commentary.
Yeah, you know, the thing is you hit it right on the head there. This is where I want it to end. I want this to be the last one. That's really all I can say about it. I want this to be it. Let them go their separate ways after this. Maybe this does lead to a match with Drew and Wade Barrett. I would love that if that's what Wade Barrett wants to do. I think that'd be great if he wants to get back in the ring. I think that'd be cool. If he doesn't, then so be it. So it's just one of those deals where I just know one thing. I want this to be over with after this pay-per-view.
Yes.
Want them to go their own separate ways, and we go from there. That's really all I can say about it, because it's, I mean, this feud's been going on forever. And
it's been really, I've been enjoying the feud. I'm not going to lie. I've been enjoying it. But enough.
Yeah. Enough's enough. Yes. It's time for a change.
Yes. We have a chat from Jason. He said that he's going to be on at SmackDown tonight.
Oh, very cool.
Very cool. It's going to be, yes. I hope you have a wonderful time, sweetie. And
a memorable one.
Yes, it is. We have Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa. What was the stipulation for that match?
Wasn't it steel cage or no?
Steel cage match. I think
maybe it was. I don't know. Steel cage match.
I'm gonna check.
Yeah, steel cage. It is. It's
steel. Okay, cage. Steel cage match. Not only that, but like something happened on last week's SmackDown that I cannot, for the life of me, wrap my hand around it. Vinci had his debut, and they had him pinned in 3 seconds by Apollo Crews.
I was speechless. I could not believe that. I was laughing.
This was the most Vince thing ever.
But it was all, it was hilarious though. It was I thought it was brilliant though. I do. I really do. I thought it was brilliant. Because I was like, what? I don't, like, going into it, I was like, I don't really get this. I mean, they're rebuilding him, but like, he's just all of a sudden going to be like really good. That was my line of thinking the whole time. Like, I don't see this working at all. That was my opinion. Like, I don't see this working. And I like him as a wrestler. I really do. But when that happened, when that happened, I was just like, holy hell, that was amazing. And I
don't know how to feel. I
feel bad for him, but I also think it's hilarious. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it is hilarious, but like, what kind of hilarious is it? Is it haha or huh? You know?
I think it's because, both.
Could we see The Rock on SmackDown? This is a wonderful question.
I think it's a very big possibility. I mean, I don't know.
All of us remember what happened on the first SmackDown on Fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston, that was on the first episode of SmackDown on Fox. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Yes, because please correct me if I'm wrong, because I would to remove this from my memory. Yes. Okay. So
a lot of us would.
Yeah, who knows what they can do this time. But going back to Vinci, this was
that was 2019. Holy hell.
Yeah, it was that long ago. So the thing is, Apollo didn't beat Vinci in 3 seconds because they have faith in Apollo and because they're going to push Apollo. They've been teaming him up with Baron Corbin, which isn't a bad thing, but like, they're all of a sudden baby faces now, you know, Corbin, which is kind of weird. And then like, nothing happens, and then they're getting beat all the time. And now Apollo beat someone in 3 seconds. This is what I meant when I said that I was going to give it time. But do you know what I will not give time to? Because I'm really, really, really pissed.
What's that?
Yes. Did you catch NXT this week?
I did, for once.
Yeah. So tell me what. Yeah, for once. Tell me what you thought of Julia's debut.
I thought it was good. There's nothing that. Nothing. I like Chelsea Green, so I thought that was
all
a
of
perfect
us do.
Person. I thought that was a perfect person to put her in the ring with. I enjoyed it. Julia's good. There was nothing I was fine with it. Like, I thought it was a good debut ahead of it, and I I like how they put her in the match ahead of just bringing her out on October 1st, letting the crowd, letting the people see her wrestle, like the people that are watching NXT from home or wherever they watch it, to build it up. Because if you haven't seen her, it doesn't do as much. So I'm glad they did that.
Okay. I hated it.
Okay. Why was that?
Okay. You cannot. I adore Chelsea Green.
Oh, I do.
Let
too.
Me start off by saying this. I think Chelsea Green deserves the world. I think that they should not only give her all the titles, but they should invent new ones so they can give it to Chelsea. This is how much I love Chelsea Green. She's been solely responsible for my entertainment when it comes to WWE nowadays, because they're slightly moving to, you know, that less entertainment and more action, and that's fine. But Chelsea Green has been that constant entertainment. And it's not only entertainment, but it's like my kind of entertainment. She's stupid, she's goofy, she's funny. She's my thing. But they're trying to present Julia as this unstoppable force, you know? Yeah. Everyone is absolutely aware that she will be the one to dethrone Roxanne Perez. Yes. And at this time, they've built Roxanne Perez as this unbeatable champion that has been moving the NXT women's division in NXT.
Okay. Yeah.
And what they did in this match was 90%, 98% of the match, Chelsea Green was kicking Julia's ass. Like, Julia did not do anything. Like, she did a pretty good neck breaker from the apron on the outside. She did a magnificent knee, and then she hit her finisher. That is all that she did in the match. The rest of the match was Chelsea Green kicking her ass. And because she had so little offense in this, like in this match, what are we supposed to expect in the match with Roxanne? This is one of the few instances where I would have preferred a squash, because you need to present Julia as this woman in NXT. I'm a bit puzzled as to why they presented her that way in her debut. The match was good all around if nothing mattered in the match itself.
Yeah.
Again, I adore Chelsea Green, and if it was someone else, I would have been wildly out of control right now. Wildly out of control. But because it's Chelsea, I'm gonna give them the benefit of doubt, because again, I adore the woman. But Julia should have been extremely dominant in her first match in NXT, her first win in NXT. This was supposed to be a statement towards Roxanne. This is all I'm saying. Because Roxanne, I don't know, because my memory sucks, guys. If you're new here, Rob and I's memory suck. Yes, I could not for the life of me remember if Roxy ever faced Chelsea. She did, right?
I believe they have.
Yeah, I believe. So, yes, please check on Cage Match if they ever faced each other.
I'm sure.
Because I feel like they faced each other at NXT.
And they might have, like, other places too.
No, I was asking specifically in WWE alone.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. Because I'm trying to make a point out of that.
Yeah, they faced each other May 7th.
May 7th, this year?
Yep.
How long was the match?
9 minutes.
9 minutes, okay.
And they faced each other in... Now listen to this one. This is actually pretty cool. In tag team action, they faced each other... I know this is not WWE, but they faced each other in tag team match. It was Chelsea and Willow against Roxy and Miranda Elise.
Oh.
And then, yeah. That's cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, but like, okay, like I could not remember how long while you're on cage match, please don't close cage match. Tell me how long the match was between Julia and Chelsea.
I
know it's NXT television. It went through at least one commercial break. At least that's what I remember.
6 minutes and 54 seconds.
6 minutes and 54. Okay, that in my head was so much longer. Okay, it's just the way I feel about this match. I know that selling in the ring is almost incredibly as important as it is your moveset itself, but when you're selling, you're not impressing. You're selling in your first match. Like you should selling and bumping for your rival. You're not impressing anyone in your debut. I understand how that's also important, but being presented as the dominant villain that she eventually will be presented as, I didn't think that this was the right way to debut her. That's all I'm saying. And I'm sure that I will forget this in the future because I have extreme faith with the NXT Women's Division and Julia.
Yeah.
I just thought it was weird. I just thought it was weird.
I mean, yeah, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. I just thought it was...
Yes, Joe in the chat brings up a wonderful point. Jordynne Grace versus Sol Ruka was a masterpiece because you have two different styles of wrestling in the same ring, and I love this incredibly, incredibly so. I've made a point out of praising Sol Ruka on this show almost every time we bring up NXT. And while talking about Jordynne Grace, everyone here knows she's my absolute hero and I adore the woman. At some point, one of our colleagues from Fightful will listen to me and they will say that I love her because Joel hasn't been able to. I forgot to tell Sean, but like he was probably going to get constipated on the way to, you know, that whole event that was live on Chris Van Vliet's YouTube page. I'm surprised that he got video for the Fightful social media while trying desperately to poop. So, yes, Jordynne Grace and Sol Ruka. Amazing, amazing match. And I was so pissed at the way it ended. I was pissed off with, you know, Rosemary and Wendy Chu being paired together is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because they work well with each other. But I still have zero explanation as to why Wendy Chu is the way she is. Rosemary was like, oh, let me explain to you why Wendy Chu and I are together. And I'm like, fucking no. Explain to me why Wendy woke up like a zombie. What did she dream about? Why was she asleep for half a year? What is the deal with the eye makeup? Like, what? I'm going to need some answers about that. But thank you, Joe, for reminding me of this awful, awful thing that happened.
We have a super chat from Ryan Sullivan. He says, can't watch live, but saying H-E-L-L-O, hello. So, yeah, I get it.
Hello to you too, sweetie. We love you so much.
Jared, J-E-F-F-J-A-R-R-E-T-T.
Wow, I did not do that at all. It's just like, our system's taken over. I don't understand how that happened.
Yeah, but like, is that Siri?
Yeah, I don't know who it was, but we got hacked.
We got hacked.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but
you have no idea what this is.
Yeah, no.
I'm good because like I have a death list with the people who do the bit. And mysterious hacker. Should I write this down?
Yeah, it's
The mysterious hacker. Okay.
His name, it looks like he left a signature, anonymous raw GM is what it says here.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's fine. I was about to, because like when we were talking about Dynamite, I was going to bring up something that Corey mentioned in the Spotlight chat. It was in the Weez chat today. I don't remember anymore. It's all mushed together.
Thank you, Ryan, for the super chat, by the way.
Thank you, sweetie. We love you so much. I hope that you have a really wonderful and pleasant reason as to why you're not watching live. I hope everything's okay. Yeah, when we start talking about Dynamite, I will bring up the masterpiece that Corey mentioned. I'm mad about what he said, but like it's so good.
Yeah. Other than like, I mean, Raw, I thought was decent, you know, for their season premiere.
Season premiere, and they're gonna be 2 hours for 3 months.
Yeah. Starting, when is that? October?
October. Yeah. For the rest of the year, it's going to be for 2 hours. And I want to cry a bit because I know that it's not going to be permanent because like when you go on Netflix, you're probably going to want to do the whole 3 hours just so you can get out your content. And Netflix themselves would want more people to watch, you know, the Netflix itself.
And you know, like about that, like I know a lot of people like started the rumor about SmackDown going to 3 hours. I think that would be a disaster, and the reason why
disaster
Friday nights, people don't want to be, for the most part, they already had a hard time struggling with SmackDown on Fridays.
Well, not when Roman Reigns was a part of.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying in general, I don't see them. I don't see
it. Which means that Cody cannot do the work, okay? That's it. Cody cannot do the work. He's not a needle mover, okay? Roman Reigns is.
Yeah, and I think for the... There's a part of me that thinks the brand split's going to be over again because I think they're going to have to do... This is just me, like, spitballing here. The reason why is there's going to be a lot of people that do not have Netflix that... that will still have USA.
Okay.
And I think they're going to have to, I'm not saying they're going to do it every week, but they're going to eventually have to have like some of the Raw superstars on SmackDown occasionally. Kind of like, I mean, more than they do now. I mean, they've done really well about not letting people go over as much as they used to be. Like, it used to be really bad as far as like brand split, but it's been a lot
better. Is go over the correct term?
Go over? I would always just say
crossover.
Like, yeah, crossover, I guess. I don't know. There was really never a term that I knew of. But it'll be nice to have that 2 hour break. Or
I'm so hyped for this. Jaden chat also said that she's absolutely thrilled. A 2 hour Raw will be so good because I like the content that Raw is giving, you know, its viewers, but it's almost as if they're stretching things out because they need to fill in 3 hours of wrestling.
Yeah, I'm curious. It's been so long since a 2 hour Raw that I'm curious
to see how it goes. Mean, the last time Raw was 2 hours, first of all, AJ Lee was there. And not only was she there, but she was in a commercial for this 3 hour Raw. And she was wearing her check gear. That's how far it was. Because like I will always have, you know, AJ Lee.
By the way, comparison. Shout out to our friend Haley, who just interviewed her on comicbook.com.
I lost my mind when I thought
that was pretty cool.
I lost my mind. Also, right in the middle of Raw, there was a "We miss AJ Lee" sign.
I saw that.
And I was like, yes, yes, we do. Yes, sir, you are correct. Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. What do you think of the main event for NXT with Trick Williams?
Yeah, Trick Williams and Pete Dunne having a last man standing match. Okay. How isn't Pete Dunne being given the world? So he was on Raw, being a part of a fatal four-way match to see who's the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. He had a match. He was the one who got pinned, by the way. Jey Uso pinned Pete Dunne. So he had a match, the main event match. He hopped on a plane and immediately did, from Canada, he flew to Florida and had a last man standing match the day after that. And it was kind of stupid because he was the one to give Trick Williams the side Russian leg sweep from the balcony to the table that was set on the outside. And he was the one who didn't make the 10 count because, like, Ethan Page came out and started rallying Pete Dunne to get up. But what happened was, because Trick Williams hates Ethan Page so much, he got up before the 10 count and threw him over the announce table, which made him the winner of the last man standing match. I'm kind of pissed off because I'm a huge Pete Dunne fan. British Strong Style, Mustache Mountain, like all the things that he's been a part of. I'm not gonna lie, I'm extremely happy that we get to see Pete Dunne on our television, because there used to be a time that we didn't get that. Both him and Tyler Bate were well and not injured, and they just did not use them on television. I was ecstatic when he went back to Pete Dunne and put Butch behind him. The fact that they're using this for a storyline between him and Sheamus is kind of intriguing, because this, I'm sure that this still hasn't ended, because Sheamus still, what do you call it? Shillelagh? No, what? Yeah. What do you call
that?
Yes. Shillelagh. That's, yep. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly. It sounds really silly. So I think that this is going to be a thing for the near future. It hasn't ended. I will never say no to this, because Sheamus versus Pete Dunne, like, we already saw this match and it was a banger. So I will never say no to another one of these matches. Sheamus in the ring, please. Pete Dunne in the ring with Sheamus. Just, yes, please. Pete Dunne is one of these people that if you have a bad match with Pete Dunne, it's probably your fault. Mm-hmm. He's been around for quite some time and he's picked up on a lot of things. I understand NXT's fascination with Trick Williams. I adored Trick Williams up until the point that this killed the debut on the main roster for Carmelo Hayes. Everything that's happening with Carmelo Hayes and Andrade over at SmackDown right now is pretty good, because they're having bangers every week.
And
now they're probably going to fight over the United States Championship. And I will never say no to that, because that's, that's what's fucking brilliant. Not Oasis. That is what's fucking brilliant. Yeah.
And that's, by the way, that's tonight too. There's an Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes match tonight. You also have...
Is this number three or is this number four? This is number three.
Number three, yep.
Okay. So I cannot wait for that. The match is absolutely fantastic. This is what I'm talking about. I'm sorry for cutting you off. Up until now... what?
No, I was just going to say there's that. There's also Grayson Waller in Theory taking on Kevin Owens and a mystery partner.
And a mystery partner. Who do you think that mystery partner is?
Well, I guess, okay. So the WWE fan part of me, or the assumption part of me, thinks it's going to be Randy Orton. But part of me really, really hopes it's John Cena.
Well, it's kind of obvious that it's going to be Randy Orton. And if, like, they wouldn't make it a surprise if it was. And so, yeah, John Cena is way more plausible for me because, oh, a mystery partner. Everyone, like, they teamed 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What do you mean a mystery partner?
That's why I'm hoping like it's John Cena.
Yeah, it's not that far behind.
I mean, I could see it being, this is the order I have it in just because of me being a pessimist. I think it's Randy Orton, John Cena, Sami Zayn. I could see it being Sami Zayn too.
He's not returning until 2045.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but I mean, I could see like a one-time like thing if he's free, and I don't know where he's at by any means.
Free, he's barely free for pancakes.
I know, I'm just saying, like, I don't, because a lot of movies film in Vancouver. I mean,
sure,
Vancouver's not too far from Seattle, it's a quick flight. I'm just saying, if it's possible, I don't know if he's in Vancouver. I'm just saying, like, I don't know where the hell he is. I can't even see him. It's John Cena, so you know,
yeah, it's John Cena.
I'm just saying, so I'm just throwing it out there. It's gonna be one of those three. It's just,
I suppose it's gonna be Randy Orton, but the fact that they made it a mystery partner. Like, why? I understand that people will pop for Randy Orton. I've not been shy with sharing the fact that I was never a Randy Orton girl. But I definitely understand why people like the guy.
That'd be a hell of a shocker. Say that much.
Who says that it's going to be Kurt Cobain?
I'm just throwing it out there. Seattle, you know, me trying to be funny didn't work. So let's just.
There's more to Seattle than Nirvana.
Oh, I know. There's Heart. There's Foo Fighters. There's Sonic Youth.
Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains.
Yeah, Pearl Jam.
Soundgarden, Audioslave.
By the way, how'd they ever get Pearl Jammed? I mean, that's. This is what I even tweeted today. That's who I think it is. That's who I really want it to be. That's who I really want it to be. Not John Cena. What the hell is wrong with me? That's who I want it to be. That's who I want it to be. That guy.
I would for AJ Styles. I will pop. Oh,
this would be cool for me too. King Griffey Jr., your favorite baseball player. I know you're a big King Griffey Jr. fan.
Yes, I know who that is.
Yeah, see? The kid. You were a big fan of the Kingdom back in the day. Dave Buhner, Randy Johnson.
I'm sorry. Please Pedro return Martinez, tonight, sweetie.
Tino Martinez. I was going to say Tito, that ain't right. Back in the day. You would have been a big Seattle Mariners fan. I can tell. I know this. I'm speaking like different language to you right now. I know that
you are. I'm just spending time with my AJ Styles action. Yeah. You know.
Is that the one that you, never mind.
yeah. Hey, anyways, we made a deal. Okay.
Yeah, I know. That's why I stopped. Anyways. Yeah. Let's talk AEW Dynamite.
Let's Maggie. Do a Cooper effect and then talk about let's everything.
El Cooper effecto. Give me 1 second to get on
Secondo.
The to get on the El Cooperfecto.
So this week's Cooper Fed is kind of a sad one, but I will not let it get to me as much as it actually did the day of. This past week, we lost James Earl Jones. So this is actually why I'm wearing a Star Wars t-shirt. This is the Star Wars t-shirt that Rob sent to me a couple of years back. James Earl Jones, I am absolutely 100% sure that it was at least at some point of our lives in all of ours' homes, whether it be the voice of the Lion King or Darth Vader. I would not like to admit how long it took me to realize that the Lion King is also James Earl Jones. You do not want me to, you know, to confess that. But because I am a girl who grew up with Star Wars, I like that voice. James Earl Jones's voice is imprinted in my mind forever and ever, because there used to be a full summer in which I watched every Star Wars episode every day, which means 4th, 5th, and 6th episode of Star Wars, because those were the ones that, the only ones out. Absolutely brilliant voice, and it's just, I didn't even realize that James Earl Jones was 93 years old. That's a lot, man. He did a lot of cameos in a lot of TV series. Of course, one of my favorite ones is the one from Big Bang Theory. I know a lot of Americans fucking hate that show. But I will bring that up because this episode, was the very episode where both James Earl Jones and Carrie Fisher made a cameo in this specific episode. He always sounded extremely genuine in his love towards the franchise, towards everything that he did in his life. And just, I'm thankful every day that I got to hear that iconic voice. And I hope that he's somewhere when he can rest and drink tea with honey, because that voice has to, has to be okay, because we're going to have to listen to it at one point of our lives too. Rob, I know that you wanted to, you know, to have some words about that too.
Yeah, he was a voice of just like my childhood as well, you know, Star Wars. This picture right here is from one of my favorite movies, Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. One of my favorite baseball movies, one of my favorite films. Just one of my, like, all-time favorites. I love this movie. He was in The Sandlot. He was, I mean, Lion King, you know, Mufasa, that's it. just so many great films. He was in Conan and the Barbarian. Just so many films, and he was the voice of, like, CNN. This is CNN. Like, I mean, it's just, he just had that voice, that iconic voice. And that episode you're talking about, even if you did not like Big Bang Theory, that was a hilarious episode.
Hilarious episode. You got to hear his laugh. Because, yeah, like, if you're so embedded into the Star Wars franchise, you never... Yeah. Think that Darth Vader would ever laugh in his lifetime ever. Yet if this was the only thing that you've seen James Earl Jones as a part of, you got to hear him laugh, and it was so incredibly genuine. I'm absolutely sure that he had a blast filming that episode, and Carrie Fisher was there.
Yeah, and I even if you don't like baseball,
yeah, I know. Jade mentions that he was in Field of Dreams. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's just watch the movie. I think you would love it. Like, even you don't have to be a baseball fan. Coming to America is another one that he was great in, with Eddie Murphy. there's so many great ones, and I just, the Cooper Effect is, the reason why he's the Cooper Effect is just how many people he's brought together, like, just so many memories he's brought families together. Like Maggie says, she's told me she used to watch Star Wars with her dad. Me and my friends, we used to talk Star Wars all the time. Just, he had a big impact on a lot of people, and
I would like publicly to tell Mr. James Earl Jones is that a tattoo of Darth Vader is between my legs forever and ever, and he is absolutely forever with me. So there.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think of any better way to end the Cooper Effect than this.
James, I would like to publicly let you know, I do not have a tattoo between my legs of Darth Vader.
Yet.
Yeah, that, we will not have it either.
Okay. Let's talk about AEW All Out.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me what you thought about the show, because I already told our fans how extremely out of it I was, because like after the show, during my shift, because I had a shit ton of work to do, I had to clean the entire bar after that insane weekend that we had. So I was checking out social media and everyone was talking about All Out, and I'm like, I don't remember anything from this show. I remember shit.
I thought it was a great show. Like, I mean, what I liked so much is the night and day difference between that and All In. And All In was a good show.
The meme itself, the Simpsons meme that I shared, which everyone loved, because I don't watch The Simpsons, but you don't need to watch The Simpsons to get the meme. It was absolutely on point.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct. Yes, continue.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great show. I understand where some people are coming from as far as like the violence in the steel cage match. I completely understand where they're coming from, to an extent. I get it. If that's not what they were expecting, then that kind of sucks for them. But I don't really know what to say to that. I mean, was it cringe? I guess it's different because I've seen that stuff before. Like in, I used to watch XPW when I was young, like in my 20s, and I've seen that stuff. So I, like, it didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. If you had a kid that's around 12, 13, or younger, you know, I can see why it would be disappointing or for you. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a lights out cage match. You knew what you were about to watch.
To an extent, what I'm saying is, to an extent, some people still didn't think it'd go that far. I, in a million years, I didn't think I'd see a syringe brought out. You know, I could say that. You know, I was not expecting that, but let's also be real here. They just promoted a burning down a, they just burned down a house a few days before.
Burning down a house.
Yeah, I was trying to do that when I wasn't gonna, but yeah, you know, the thing is, it didn't bother me, but what I'm saying is I can see people's point, but I don't think that also they need to like ban the company or anything like that. I think it's just, know what you're going to be potentially watching, you know, just, I mean, they did say it's a lights out match. So, I mean, you're right. They did say that. And,
it's always easier to blame someone else for you not paying attention.
Yeah.
If you say that you're angry at AEW for producing this type of pay-per-view experience while you're watching with your child, you knew what that previous match that they had, you know, you knew what you saw. Like Hangman stapled a bunch of his child's drawings on his cheek. And then he drank his blood and spat it out. And I am wet from saying that. Just, and because you know what you saw like months ago on that, whatever could they possibly put on this show that could top this? So it's your fault if you say, oh, I was watching with my kids, when you fucking don't next time.
I mean, this is what I'll say too. This is what I'll say about that too. Some people, again, this is, I understand where you're coming from. Absolutely. There's some people that did not watch that other match. So to those people, it's one of those things.
Well, like, no idea what happened in that match.
Yeah, I'm just saying there's some people that might not know what happened to that match, is all I'm saying. Like, but I'm also saying that you need to know that you're watching a pay-per-view, shit happens, you know?
It's a lights out.
Yeah.
No DQ match. Lights out. Cage match. Why is it a lights out match? Because AEW in kayfabe do not want to sanction this type of behavior, this type of match, this sort of, you know, things in kayfabe. They don't want to be any part of this. So if you're using your brain a bit, you'd know what you're about to watch.
Yeah,
just do not make excuses for people who just want to be angry for no apparent reason, okay? Just don't make excuses for them. If people want to be angry at what they're watching, they can just fucking, you know, turn off the television.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the thing. Like, you need to be responsible for what you're watching.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. If you think there's a chance that something is going to be there, like there's a difference between what was there that night and being what happened like at the Super Bowl years ago with Janet Jackson. I can completely understand people losing their shit over that more than they can with what happened at this pay-per-view. You know, that's, even though I was happy as hell, I was like, hey, look, a boob, you know, like, you know, I'm just, it is what it is, but
Absolutely.
The words of Taz, I digress.
Yes, but there were other matches on this card as well.
Chris Statlander and Willow, absolutely.
Yeah, so this was the thing that I wanted to talk about after. So because Pac and Will Ospreay. I mean, I'm gonna need this match again because I'm spoiled now. My favorite Will Ospreay match from this year will still be... No, was it this year? Against Danielson? Was it this year? I don't even remember anymore. Yeah, Ospreay and Danielson was this year, right? Or was it last year at Wrestle Dream? I don't remember anymore, guys. Please help me.
I'm looking.
Will Ospreay is on his way to have a perfect year at this point. Like, every time he delivers when it's pay-per-view in a match as a whole. But
that was July 3rd
this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So much has happened this year that I just have no recollection. But we knew that this was going to be an incredible match, right? Because it's two of our favorites. Pac and Will Ospreay. Again, I'm gonna need to watch this one more time, please and thank you. But the fact that they put on Willow and Chris Statlander right after this match, like, I was a bit pissed off because whatever you put after this match, the audience is gonna be stone cold silent because they were spent from Will Ospreay and Pac. And even following that kind of match between probably two of the best in-ring competitors in that locker room, and they did not take a step back from that match. Willow and Chris Statlander put on one of the best women's matches in AEW history. I'm not going to go as far as to say North American history for this year. I'm not going to say that because, like, again, my memory is really, really shitty. But it just goes to show you just how women deliver when they are given the opportunity to. The match was absolutely fantastic. I'm like, one of the best spots in the match was Chris Statlander doing the splits on thumbtacks. And I was like, I feel this. I fucking feel this. And absolute banger. They didn't hold back. And they were exactly as brutal as the male competitors would be in that specific type of match. Extremely proud of both of them. And I don't know if this is the end of their feud or whatever, but they proved that women can hang in the ring with the men. Every time the women are given the opportunity to be in a street fight, cage match, or whatever, this type of aggressive type of match in the ring, they just show you that they can hang. Like all of the women who have been a part of these types of matches at AEW, they've all delivered. Yeah, but like going back to Swerve versus Hangman, I would like to say for everyone in the chat that said that this match was not for them, Jade, I thought I saw that you said you expressed your emotions when it came to this match. Death matches, no DQ matches, hardcore matches, all this type of, you know, matches, those aren't for me. They are not for me. I like the wrestling. I like joint manipulations. I like the wrestling moves. I like locking up at the beginning of the match, show of strength and everything. I like the wrestling. Those types of matches are not for me. There are very few exceptions, and this match was an exception to this rule, and only because it was Swerve and Hangman. I feel like this will go down into history as one of the best feuds, period. No matter WWE or AEW. It's just so incredibly emotional that people are arguing with each other about who's the face and who's the heel in this particular situation, because you can make a point out of both. And this is what makes it extremely unique circumstances, because clean cut things are good, but in this specific situation, I like the balance in the whole story. And Corey and Supi will appreciate the David Lynch throwback here. Balance is the key. Balance is the key to everything in life. So, I understand why the syringe was a bit cringe. If this were any other two wrestlers with a story that was not built this well, I would have hated this match. I'm just going to go out and say it. But because it was this feud specifically, I didn't mind any of it. Like the cinder block spots, and how can you possibly gimmick a cinder block? Like to this day, I have no idea how you do that. I would like to think that it was a gimmick one. Everyone then started talking about the chair shot, which was Sean said on the post show that it was in fact a gimmick chair. The fact that like it fell apart the way it did is proof enough that it was a gimmick chair. But everyone, oh my god, a chair shot. Are you kidding? Like you just saw Hangman piercing Swerve's cheek with a syringe. What was in that syringe, by the way? Was it lidocaine? Because if you believe kayfabe, like if you believe kayfabe and you believe Hangman truly hates Swerve, then it must not be lidocaine, because like you will just numb your senses and it won't hurt at all. So Hangman wins this match. Bear in mind that this match started before even the steel cage was brought down. That's the amount of hate that those two people have towards each other. But the thing that got me the most, because as awesome as Hangman is in the ring, he has most power when it comes to his acting and his facial expressions and his like the emotion is in his eyes. This is what's important when it comes to Hangman in storytelling. This is everything. And the moment he won the match and he started going up the ramp, and as he, because he was walking in reverse, like he was looking at the ring and going backwards, and he was watching everyone in the ring trying to wake Swerve up. And it was at that moment that probably some remorse started entering his mind. And you could see in his eyes that when he stepped towards the ring, he wanted to go back. The sheer terror in the audience's gasp at that moment, it kind of frightened him. Like, go back and watch it, because this is really important Hangman acting. And he felt extremely frightened at the response that the audience had, because, and the audience played it perfectly, because they were legitimately terrified at what Hangman was about to do to Hangman, because they all believed that he could go back in the ring. Not a person in that arena thought that he wasn't going to go back in the ring, because they saw what Hangman did to Swerve. They saw that. And so, of course, everyone was terrified of that. And then he heard them. And it was just, it was everything. It was a wonderful way to end the pay-per-view. But the thing that happened on this week's Dynamite was that he made a point out of getting his hands on everyone that stood in the way of him in this match. He went past Dark Order, and they said that they don't even recognize what he's become. Then he had, some words with Jeff Jarrett, which fucking sucked.
JeffJarrett.
Again, you, I don't know. That's just so weird.
I don't know. It's as if he's Joe Hendry. So they're apparently gonna have the match, which just fucking sucks. But I do hope that Hangman just mauls Jeff Jarrett, okay? Just walks by first.
You know, something before I forget, you know me, because I will forget, this is off topic. PWI did release their top 500.
Mm-hmm.
Number 69 is Dominic Mysterio, so I want to congratulate Kate. Because that means she's contractually obligated to be his biggest fan for the next 12 months. So congrats to her.
Congratulations, Kate. We love you. Yeah. D'Lo Dix brings up that Hangman will end Bryan Danielson's career. You can make a case out of both Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley right now. I hope to God that it's not Darby Allin. But we're about to talk about that. So the other thing that happened also, Jesus Christ, on All Out this past Saturday was that, okay, so the match itself wasn't the thing that we're going to talk about. Bryan Danielson versus Jack Perry, the match was absolutely fine. I even enjoyed it. But like, Jack Perry kicked out of the Psycho Knee the first time that Bryan Danielson delivered it. Then, of course, he couldn't he couldn't win the match regardless. What happened after is that the patriarchy came out, and I'm like, no, this cannot be happening. Like, Christian Cage cannot cash in now. So what happened was the entire BCC came out and stood between the patriarchy and the ring in which Bryan Danielson was in. And I was like, fucking yes, this is so badass. And then they got in the ring and they started celebrating a bit too much. And I was half asleep and I was like, what is happening here? And then I closed my eyes to yawn. Okay. And this wasn't because like the show was bad. I wanna underline this. I'm 35 years old and I have to sleep for more than an hour and a half after a 15-hour shift. That's all I'm gonna say. So while I was yawning, Claudio hit Bryan Danielson with an uppercut. So what happened is that I close my eyes and then I wake up from the yawn. And I see Bryan Danielson shocked on the ground. And he's not even selling the uppercut. Like, his shock was way bigger than the force of the uppercut. And I was like, wait, what happened? And I saw that Claudio was kind of not thrilled that he did what he did. And at that point, I was like, okay, this is interesting, but why? And then John Moxley, ever so gently, started choking Bryan Danielson with a plastic bag over his head. And Wheeler Yuta played this magnificently because he was hoping that he could save his mentor, but Pac did not let him. Like, he was standing in his way, he was holding him back. And Pac had his back turned towards Bryan Danielson this entire time. He was facing the crowd while Yuta was trying his best to help Bryan Danielson. So they left the ring. Yuta,
I forget. Okay, so I'm going to let you finish, but when we get to Dynamite, when Moxley talks, I want to bring something up. So go ahead.
Okay. You sure you don't want to say it now?
Yeah, because I don't want to skip ahead. So.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So what happened here was, you know, the probably the second murder attempt on this show, although it did happen first, like, you know, Hangman and Swerve did happen afterwards. What's next for both Moxley and Hangman? Probably prison. I don't know.
Well, they're sending Moxley back to WWE, huh?
No.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Remember that video he did after he got released?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what happened was, when they were on Dynamite, Marina Shafir, like, she looks so at home in this role that she's.
The toughest one out of the whole freaking group.
The toughest one. Like, the moment she turns her back on the camera, and I'm like, this physique is phenomenal.
Reminds me of China. Like, really does. Yeah. Like DX. Dude.
But it's so good. And, like, I know that people have been wanting to see Marina Shafir in the BCC. And this brand new look for the BCC, I don't even know what they're calling themselves now because,
I don't know.
Yeah, they're probably going to tell us at some point. I'm so glad that Maureen Shafir is a part of this amazing group right now. So what they're doing right now is a third attempt at a hostile takeover when it comes to AEW, which let's hope that this one sticks, and it sticks because it works and not only because they just want to wait it out until the end. I just want this to work because a year ago, or no, it wasn't a year ago, when the Elite were trying to do that, like, it was, I know that it was a funny bit, but like beating up your boss, TK, like, and they did nothing with that afterwards. Well, not nothing, but like it's kind of deflating. So what happened with Moxley and Darby Allin on the show, I will let you talk about, you know, what happened. But the way Dynamite opened up this week was a recap with Jon Moxley, you know, talking in the background. And I was so in love with this video because it was so real. And they showed footage of them carrying Bryan Danielson, who was unconscious. Everyone played their role so good that it got to me. Like, the opening video just got to me. And it was so, it's just brilliant. It almost feels like this is a brand new start for AEW. And I'm incredibly happy to see that. Because, like, they wanted to send us home happy into the sunset after at Wembley. And it's almost as if they were like, enjoy this while you can, because it's about to get really, really dark. And then it did. Amazing. Moxley did get a face-to-face with Darby Allin, because Darby Allin did come out and he said, someone's been looking for me, I'm here now, so might as well talk about it. So what happened was, Moxley was like, well, Bryan Danielson is indisposed right now, so he cannot possibly face you. Do you want to kind of maybe want to give me that match against Danielson? Because you're not ready. You have no idea what's going on and you're not ready. And Darby then said, like, you're going to have to work for it. And they're eventually going to have a match with, you know, against each other at Grand Slam for that said championship. But did you want to talk about this before I touch upon the Nigel McGuinness thing?
Yeah. So one thing that, like, what got me, like, really intrigued about this was how Moxley brought up, without bringing his name up, William Regal.
And it was really good. Yeah.
And I liked how this was going. And I hope... I like how they brought it up and how they made it make sense. But what I hope more than anything is I would like to hear Bryan Danielson say, well, I talked to our mentor and he told me to kick your fucking head in. That's what I hope he says. Like, I hope he says something like that. I talked to our mentor, and then just to see Moxley fuming, because that, you know, that will get Moxley mad. Like, because it would, because that's Moxley respects and loves that man, you know, and for,
oh yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I think, like, it'd be good, but you also have to look at it like, well, like Regal would probably say the same to Moxley, you know, like,
absolutely
fight. Mm-hmm. So I love it. I love that. I enjoyed it. I like how they brought it up and they didn't bring up the name. I thought it was good. I thought it was real good. And as far as, like, the way it happened, I thought it was good. I liked the nuance of it all. I liked the beginning of how Pac basically was celebrating with Wheeler Yuta, and then all of a sudden
he was hugging him, and then he just didn't let go.
Yeah, I loved that, and that whole reaction, and then Wheeler Yuta's reaction when he got let go, and just even the slap from Claudio, like, it's, I thought that was brilliant, because it's just like, because they it showed to me that they still want Wheeler part of the group, but they knew that it would affect him. That was one thing that caught my attention.
Yeah, it looks like, because, like, there's still trio of champions, by the way. There's still champions, and it looks like, because if they didn't want him in the group, they would have beaten the hell out of him there. But I suppose that they're still hoping they could bring him to the dark side. At some point,
we have cookies.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Hi, Doug.
Doug sent us a super chat. He says, it's okay, guys, I'm here. We did miss you. You did miss, you know, about 10 to 15 minutes of me just rambling from the start of the show because Rob was being Rob.
first day.
So the important thing is in this was like, hi, Darby. Bryan Danielson is indisposed. And at this very moment, Nigel McGuinness had a fascinating idea. He was like, Bryan Danielson can't wrestle? I need to speak to Tony Khan immediately. So he goes to talk to Tony Khan, and then he comes out to the ring with a contract in his hand. And he's like, Oasis will play me to the ring. I will fight you, Bryan Danielson, because he said that the AEW champion has to fight at Grand Slam. So he's like, Bryan Danielson isn't here because Bryan Danielson is afraid of the match that everyone else wants and begs for. You know who isn't afraid? Tony Khan is not afraid. So Tony Khan made it official. It's going to be Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness at Grand Slam. I still have no idea if it's going to be for the championship.
I assume it will be.
I have no idea why. Because, like, why is this happening? Like, explain to me why Bryan Danielson isn't fit to compete against Darby Allin. But he is fit to compete against Nigel McGuinness. It's like that's kind of a slap in the face because I understand that if Nigel McGuinness is just being a slimy heel.
It's not on the line according to this.
Yeah.
Well, according to what I have in front of me, it's not.
They haven't said if it's for the championship or not. Because either way, I don't think Nigel McGuinness is winning. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Nigel McGuinness can be a slimy heel and say, like, the only reason why he wants this match is because he knows Bryan Danielson isn't 100%. You can make a point out of that. But it's a bit odd. Everything that happened on this week's Dynamite was incredibly awesome. But I have a lot of questions for almost every segment. For starters, like the way the BCC went to the ring, like they said, they beat up Commander and Private Party. For starters, why weren't Private Party a part of that tag team gauntlet that happened at the end of the, in the main event of Dynamite? Because, like, please explain to me, like, Private Party are homegrown talent. You know, they were there from day one. Like, they beat the Young Bucks.
Don't care. No. I don't know. They just haven't done anything, like, for me.
I understand that. But what is their reasoning behind not pushing Private Party? That's all I'm saying. I'm willing to give Private Party a chance. Because at the end of the day, they had in that tag team gauntlet, they had Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay win that gauntlet just because Don Callis was like, hey, listen, you've won every gauntlet that you were a part of, so why not team with Kyle Fletcher so we can bring some gold into the Don Callis family? You can see Takeshita losing his mind behind Don Callis's back. I know that they're building towards something. Mm-hmm. But this is when Corey mentioned this morning on In the Weeds that the team that had to win that tag team gauntlet was the team of Shane McMahon and Jeff Jarrett. The terror in my head was that this Sunday was while I was working and while I was cleaning the bar, and I was like, what if Shane McMahon debuted at All Out and I just don't remember? Why? What if this was the reason I don't remember the pay-per-view whatsoever? Because my mind erased that horrible mistake from my mind. And then I went back and watched it and Shane McMahon wasn't there. I will never take this for granted, you know, Shane McMahon not being there. Hopefully it doesn't happen. I don't want to see, no, like, don't give me that. Yeah, so Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay ended up winning the tag team gauntlet, which I understand that what they're doing is that they're trying to build back the tag team division, and they're leaning towards the thing that they know will work because they've done it before. In the eyes of Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega being tag team champions. And this was back in the day when the tag team division was thriving. And I would like to think that there is zero tag team division right now, because neither the trios nor the tag team division itself is clicking for me. But I will not lie to you when I say Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay versus the Young Bucks is something amazing that I want to see. It's fresh. So I can't wait. I don't know how this goes. I don't know how they build towards that. It's going to be a Grand Slam, right?
Yes, ma'am. Weeks.
Yes. So I'm gonna give them the benefit of doubt. I was hoping that Will Ospreay is. By the way, every week he was like, "I want to go and put my attention towards Ricochet," because like Ricochet said that he's gonna put some wins on his resume and then he's gonna challenge for the title. And every time Will Ospreay tries to put his focus on Ricochet, something else pulls him away into something totally different. So this might be a story that they're going towards, you know, them going towards each other, but always something that's tearing them apart and throwing them into a different direction. It's going to be an interesting angle if it turns out to be the truth.
Yeah. I agree. So, well, Maggie, you want to plug your
show? What did you think of the gauntlet?
Well, I thought it was a good match. I was surprised they went with a non-traditional tag team. Granted, I know they have history, obviously. Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay have a ton of history. I thought it was weird that that's the route they're going, because in a way it tells me that the Young Bucks are going to win. That's just my way of going that way. I tweeted during the match that New York would go nuts for Young Bucks versus the Outrunners, even though I know who'd win that
the
one.
The Outrunners were absolutely over. They got the biggest pop in that gauntlet.
Yeah, they're gonna get the biggest pot. They're the most over team, like tag team, and it's fantastic. I love it for those guys because they are great.
They're naturally over.
Yeah. It's hilarious. And they're hilarious. So
they're the youngest tag team on that roster.
Are they? I did not know that.
No.
I was like gonna say they look like the oldest, so that's why I was like I was like, wow, you
that's
got
what
me there.
That's what they're saying on commentary. By the way, I just wanted to bring up the fact that during this week's Dynamite, the match between Jack Perry and Sammy Guevara for the TNT champion, it was against Sammy, right? Right?
Sammy
wrestled. Oh, Leo Rush. Rush, right?
Yeah, Leo Rush versus Jack.
Yeah, Leo Rush versus Jack Perry for that TNT fun. Championship. Yes. So they brought up Kenny Omega on commentary, and they haven't done this before.
Kenneth, yeah.
Yeah, so I hope that this leads to something, because do not give me false hope, okay?
Yeah.
Like, well, they rarely, they rarely mention Kenny Omega on commentary. I don't remember the last time they did that, but they did here. Because like Jack Perry is kind of adopted the knee as in the V trigger. Like, it's nowhere near as magnificent as Kenny Omega's V-Trigger.
Oh, yeah, no.
Nowhere near. I love Jack Perry. Nowhere near that level of awesomeness. But, like, he has adopted.
The two people that hit the best V-Triggers are Kenny Omega and Jeremy Lambert. Those are the two best.
Did not know you're going to go that route, but Buddy Matthews. Yeah. Buddy Matthews.
Been proven. Scientist degree.
Yes. 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 Okay.
So some other news before we wrap up. There's something that was added just a few minutes ago. This Sunday.
Oh no.
Nope. This Sunday, they added a match for the folks that go to the Jacksonville Jaguars game and Cleveland Browns this Sunday. Before the game, there is going to be an AEW tag match at Flexfield. Maggie's guy, Hologram, and Sammy Guevara. Yeah. Taking on Beast Mortos and Maggie's guy, Matthew Taven.
Yes, so, my guy is Matt Taven.
Lucha Libre match, 2 out of 3 falls. So that's pretty cool that they're doing that. So that's awesome. And then they did announce that the first 30 minutes of SmackDown will be commercial free. So there's that. I'll see if there's any other news that came up since I haven't looked.
What do you think opens up the show then? Is it going to be Carmelo Hayes and Andrade?
I think they announced it's Rhodes for Solo.
Oh, the cage match is going to be opening up the show?
I believe so. I think that's what
and
I heard.
What's going to be main eventing the show?
I assume it's going to be probably whatever. Roman, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know. Let's see here. I swear they opened the show. I thought I read that or heard it.
That's fine.
Yep, we'll open the show. Previously announced, Cody Rhodes defending his undisputed WWE Championship against Solo Sikoa in a cage match will open the show.
Well, that's probably the reason why it's going to be commercial-free. Yeah. Yeah.
I would expect. So, Maggie, plug your El Shido.
Guys, you can follow me on Twixter, Twitter, X, or whatever, at Maggie_IK, and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you so much. Rob?
Okay, this popped me. Sorry. 30 minutes ad free might just be Roman's entrance. Well played.
Yes.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. And then, of course, you can catch us every Friday right here at 3 o'clock Eastern for Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. I want
to
say
thank you to the wonderful people in the chat who hang out with me while I was during the solo show at the start of the show. What did you remember?
I just remember that TNA Victory Road's tonight. Just want to go over the card real quick. The countdown to Victory Road, 2 matches, Eric Young and Steve Macklin taking on Hammerstone and Jake Something.
Hammerstone on NXT this week against Oba Femi.
Yeah, cool.
I did not mind that.
Another countdown match is Kushida taking on Leon Slater. And then on the card, you have Matt Cardona and Steph D'Lander taking on PCO and Rhino. You have the Hardys taking on First Class. TNA Knockouts Tag Team Championship. Masha Slamovich, easy for me to say. And Tasha Steelz taking on Spitfire. TNA Tag Team Championship, ABC taking on The System. TNA X Division Championship, Zachary Wentz defending his title against Mike Bailey. Josh Alexander versus Joe Hendry. TNA Knockouts Championship, Jordan Grace taking on NXT's Wendy Chu. And the TNA Championship, Nick Nemeth taking on Moose. So tonight on TNA Plus, you can check that out. But I want to say thank you for tuning in. Sorry for the
headphones difficulties.
Yeah, headphone difficulties, but we got it all taken care of. So want to say thank you for tuning in, and we will see you guys next week. Peace out, homies. See you later. Big gulps. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.